On today's Green Street Beat, we're talking with Lee Summit Parks and Rec Administrator Joe Snook about everything Legacy Blast.
I go to Legacy Blast and, you know, we have 20,000 people who are watching this event within our venues as well as all the surrounding neighborhoods. It's just amazing to know that our community comes together for this one big event. That's pretty special.
We discuss planning activities and when you should show up to get a good parking spot. Let's dive in. I'm joined today by Lee Summit Parks and Rec Administrator Joe Snook. Let's start with a little bit about you. How long have you been with the Parks and Rec Department, and what brought you to the city in the first place?
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me. I have been with Lee Summit Parks and Recreation for 18 years. Started my 19th year in April of this year. So I came from the St. Louis side. I was not in Parks and Recreation. I was in the private sector in fitness and health, and an opportunity became available. And one thing led to another, and I became the superintendent of recreation for Lee Summit, and I've been here ever since.
So what are the biggest changes that you've seen in your time as the Parks and Rec Administrator?
I'm not sure we have enough hours in the day to talk about all the big changes. I would say if I just, you know, looked from a high level, just the growth of our department. I know when I came here, there was 4 full-time recreation people. We have over 20, we have 24 full-time recreation people now. Our department was approximately 18 or 20 people when I came 18 years ago, and we're at 47 full-time people now. We have part-time and seasonal staff well over 300 during this time of the year. And so I would just say the growth of our department and also the growth of our park system in general, especially on the recreation side, has probably been the biggest changes over the last 18 years.
And you mentioned you're not from Lee Summit. You haven't always lived in Lee Summit. So what do you love about the city that just keeps you coming back day after day?
Well, I love what I do. As the administrator of Parks and Recreation, it's probably, although I didn't know it, it's my dream job. You know, it's one of those things when I started in Parks and Recreation, I didn't realize how much I was going to love it. And I loved it from day one. It's a passion for me. So coming back every day is easy. I love what we do. I love what we're able to contribute back to this community. Lee Summit is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. I've raised my 2 boys here. You know, the Parks Department, I think, has a significant impact on the quality of life that our community experiences. And knowing that we contribute to that and people can laugh and play and smile and make memories, what's not to love about that? How do you not get out of bed every morning to come to work, right?
That's true. Most people, when they think about Parks and Rec, obviously think about the television show. Would you describe yourself as more of a Ron Swanson, or would you say you're more of a Leslie Knope type?
Well, what if I told you I've never watched that show? I actually watched one episode. It was the very first episode they had, and I never watched it afterwards. I will tell you, though, my boys think it's the best show on TV. They have watched every episode at least once. I'm familiar with the characters in some respect. I would probably say I'm probably more like Leslie.
Good. So. And you don't have to watch the show. You live it every day.
So I do. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we could write some episodes for that based upon the experiences I've had in 18 years.
Well, a big event that's coming up, obviously Legacy Blast is July 3rd at Legacy Park. What can people expect this year?
Oh, well, I think if they've been participants at Legacy Park in the past, it'll be very similar. We'll have about a 22, 23-minute display. It'll happen after dark, so usually it's around the 9:25, 9:30 time, and it'll be a simulcast, and then it'll go about 20, 25 minutes. We have a lot of people who come early. We want people to come early. We have all the 4 sports venues will be open for parking, and each of the venues will have bounce houses. We'll have entertainment such as face painters and jugglers and balloon artists. There will be vendors there who will be selling different types of food and drinks and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of activities going on prior to the fireworks display. What we see a lot of is just families coming out, bringing their lawn chairs and relaxing, enjoying, taking advantage of the free amenities that we have available. And then, of course, enjoying a wonderful fireworks display.
And are all those activities free?
Yes, they are.
Is there anything different or unique about this year compared to years past?
I would say no. I think we have a winning formula, and so we don't really change a whole lot in terms of what we offer. If anything, we may offer a little bit more. We have learned that face painting is very popular, so When we used to have one face painter at each venue, we've maybe had to increase and have two or three face painters. Where we maybe had one balloon artist, we have two or three. We contract out those entertainment pieces, if you will. And so sometimes we have to work with the people we contract with, and sometimes there's availability for certain type of performers and maybe this year that we didn't have last year. So we have to just work with the company, but there's always going to be face painters, there's always going to be balloon artists, there's always going to be jugglers, those kind of things.
And what kind of food vendors are going to be out there for that event?
We'll have for-profit and we'll have non-for-profits. The Kiwanis Club has always been a staple over at our baseball venue, and they will, they will sell funnel cakes and different types of, hamburgers, hot dogs, that kind of thing. We've had Jamaican cuisine at one. But I think for the most part, it'll be pretty standard fare, popcorn, hot dogs, hamburgers, kind of stuff you'd think about during the summertime.
And are there limitations with what people can bring into the park when it comes to food and drink?
Yeah, well, they can't bring in any grills. We don't allow any grilling in the park at this venue. But they can bring in their coolers if they would like to come in and bring in their sandwiches and that kind of thing. It's not a problem. No alcohol. And so we don't allow any alcohol at this event, and we don't allow people to bring it in. But outside of that, if they wanted to bring their coolers with some soda and water, tea, some sandwiches, feel free to do so.
So a lot of people like to go to the tents, buy their own fireworks, and shoot them off at home. You kind of get to do that on a grand stage. How involved are you in what the firework display actually looks like?
Several years ago, I was probably a lot more involved than I am right now as the administrator. I have staff that are involved on a day-to-day basis. We work with the company that shoots off the fireworks, which is Wald Fireworks. We've worked with them every year. About every couple of years, we'll go through a review of the music. And so we help pick out the music that's going to accompany the display. Once we've picked out that music, then they kind of put the display together on a computer, which is kind of cool. And over the years, we get to watch the display. And yeah, we like that. No, we don't like that. And we make some adjustments here and there. So we've had a lot of input over the years as to the music and what the display is actually going to look like. I would say over the last couple of years, we probably have been less hands-on when it comes to the actual display itself. They'll let us know, hey, we got this new cool display that's going to happen, and we kind of just trust them. And then it comes out, and it's like, oh, I've never seen that before. That is pretty awesome. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, it was a heart. Thing went up, it exploded, and this big old heart popped out, and you're like, okay, well, that's new. That's pretty awesome.
And do you have a favorite display, one that they know, Joe likes this, we need to get included this year?
No, I don't think I have a favorite display. I'm probably like most people. I get most excited at the finale, and all those fireworks are going off, and the explosions, and the lights, and then it's simulcasted with the music. It's just, for me, it's always just, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's a movie. I love it, and that's always the most exciting part of the display, and I probably think it is probably for most people anyway.
Parks and Rec obviously does a lot of events during the course of the year. Where does Legacy Blast rank up there?
For me personally or for the department?
Both.
For me personally, it's probably in the top, it's probably in the top five. I mean, we've got a lot of great events that we put on all year long, and it's, to be put on the spot and say, what's your favorite special event? It's hard for me to say because we've got some very unique ones. I mean, late January, early February, we have the father-daughter dance at the Gamber Community Center. And this is where the dads come with their daughters and enjoy a really nice evening out. And I go in there, it's the one time a year I go, I wish I had a daughter. The rest of the year, I'm okay with having two boys. But that one time a year, I was like, doggone it, I wish I had a daughter. I would have liked to have taken her. And I know that there's gentlemen in there with their daughters or their granddaughters. And I know that they would never dance with their wife, but they are there with their daughter or their granddaughter. And you see them dancing, and it just warms my heart. So, you have an event like that. It's totally different than a Legacy Blast. I go to Legacy Blast, and, we have 20,000 people who are watching this event within our venues as well as all the surrounding neighborhoods. It's just amazing to know that our community comes together for this one big event. That's pretty special, and not all of our events are that big, but that I think that's what makes Legacy Blast specials. It's a big community event where everybody comes together and we're all celebrating the same thing, and that's our independence. That's pretty cool.
What kind of crowd are you guys expecting this year?
Well, as I mentioned, I think we've seen growth over, we've been doing this, I believe this will be our 16th year. So it's been going on for several years. We've always tracked attendance. It's an estimate, of course. I mean, you can't count everybody, but we have a pretty good system in place and we're pretty methodical with it. I would say we'd probably, it's always weather dependent, but we'll probably expect between 18 and 20,000 people. And I would preface that with, that includes people who go to all the neighbors. We know that our neighbors host parties, and I hear stories all the time from our neighbors. Oh, we love Legacy Blast. We bring the whole family comes over. We sit on the back deck and turn their music on and watch the whole thing, you know? Yeah. So we know that going through the neighbors. So let's try, you know, making an estimate, not just in the park, but all around the.
I don't think that some people understand how much work goes into Legacy Blast. How far in advance do you guys start preparing?
Well, you know, the event will be over on July 3rd at about 11:15, about give or take. Everybody will be gone. We immediately meet after that event that night. All the staff from Parks and Recreation who worked, we congregate in one location, and we always do what we call a post-event review. And we do this with all of our special events. Typically, it might happen on the following work day or Monday after an event. We always do this right after the event. So actually, work for the next year begins probably 10 or 15 minutes after everybody's out of the park. Because we get together, we talk about what were the issues that we saw, what could we do better, you know, what was the good, the bad, the ugly, and we go through that. Person responsible for the event makes notes, and then we put that into what we call an end of activity report, which is basically an evaluation of the entire event, which has costs and, you know, just kind of summarizes the whole thing, talks about recommendations for next year. So that happens immediately and over the next couple of weeks. Then after that, we really start working in earnest on it probably about January. So it's about 6 months in advance.
And how many city staff and volunteers are all involved in working the day of the event to make it go smoothly?
Well, Parks and Recreation, all of our full-time staff will be in, most of our full-time staff will be involved. So we'll have upwards of 40 full-time staff. We'll have several part-time staff who will help supplement our full-time staff. The police department will have upwards of 25 who will assist with primarily the traffic, the egress after the event is over, but they also help with, they have a presence at each of our venues, that kind of thing. A fire department will have staff on site over by the shoot location. They'll have probably about, I would say, 8 to 10 staff. So, you know, it could be anywhere with part-time. We could probably have upwards of 60 staff.
And what would you say to someone scrolling online today? They're trying to find the best firework location to go enjoy the 4th of July. Why should they come to Legacy Blast?
Well, I mean, you're going to get more than a fireworks display. There's going to be, you know, we got a lot of parking. We've got a lot of activities to enjoy prior to the event. The police do a great job of getting everybody out. When you think there's 20,000 people who come, that's not 20,000 cars, but, you know, that's several thousand cars. We time them every year. They know it. We always find out if they're faster this year than last year, that kind of thing. And they can get all the cars out of the park in about 20 to 25 minutes. It's amazing how efficient they are. So you can come in, you can come to an event, you can be out here with thousands and thousands of people. You're not going to sit for hours trying to get out. They've got it. It's efficient. You're going to get home, and you'll still be home well before 11 o'clock.
And you mentioned the fireworks show. The actual display starts around 9:30 or so. What time do the grounds actually open for the activities, and what advice would you give to somebody? When's the best time to arrive so that you don't have to just sit in line and you get a good spot?
Yeah. So we will open the gates so people can start going into the venues at 6 o'clock. I would say the earlier the better. You want to get there, you know, and we will have people that literally will drive through the park and down Blackwell and just do a loop until we open those gates waiting. And it's amazing. They're just circling like buzzards, like waiting for that opportunity for those gates to open. But get there early. Come at any time. But when not to come? Let me tell you when not to come. Don't come at 9 o'clock, because some people like to wait till the last minute. They like to sneak in and then maybe be that park, and then they're going to be parked, you know, close to the exit, and then they can hurry up and get out. Well, the last 3 years, we've had to close the gates early because we are full. So I would recommend come early. You don't have to come right at 6, but I would definitely come between 7 and 8 o'clock. That's probably the best time to come in, get a place, get a good location. And quite honestly, everybody goes, which is the best venue to watch it from? They're all great. I have watched the fireworks display from all of our sports venues, and they're all great locations. So I would say it doesn't really matter which location. Just get there, get settled, relax, and enjoy.
Is there just anything else you'd like to add about Legacy Blast and what people can expect?
I don't know that I really have anything else. I mean, it's just a wonderful event. You know, I think it's unique to our community. it's, you know, we've been doing it for 16 years. It's a well-oiled machine. We know you're going to get it's going to be a great night. You're going to have a great display. The music's going to be awesome. And it's just a wonderful way to spend time with your family and friends and relax, you know, have a nice ice water, ice cold soda, and just enjoy the moment. Just remember why we're here. Why do we get to have this day? And it's a great time to reflect on. I tell you, my son will usually come and watch the shows with my youngest. He's still at home. He'll come watch the show with me. And I'm there as a dad at that moment. And I put my arm around him. And we just listen to the music. And it's just going off. And honestly, I don't know that it gets any better than that.
Well, we hope that everyone comes out on July 3rd. Fireworks display will start around 9:30 p.m. Get there early. And thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Green Street Beat. If you liked what you heard, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. We would also love to hear your feedback. Email us at communications@cityofls.net. We hope everyone has a safe and fun 4th of July.